They're making a sequel, so.
Oh, really?
Hold your tongue.
Why?
Hello, Man.
It's called Bye Bye Man 2.
Oh.
Bye Bye again.
Why? Bye Bye Bye. Bye.
Yeah, I know, right? Bye 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 was gone.
You know what?
Is that,
you know what?
Is that Backstreet Boys? Is it NSYNC? Who is that?
Bye Bye
That's
Bye.
Backstreet Boy.
No, it's okay. NSYNC.
Yeah.
Is it NSYNC?
It's NSYNC. God damn it.
Man.
It's 98 degrees.
It is
one of those bands.
It's yeah, S Club 7.
Yeah.
Did they have ramen hair? Then that was.
I mean, one of them did. So I mean, one of yeah,
SJT.
One of them, yeah, I was about
Justin
to say
Timberlake.
Yeah, yeah, well, or oh, Joey man. Fatone.
Or, yeah,
or Joey Fatone, the one that was the this is not the heartthrob. So this is the one for the bears that are listening to.
He was also mysteriously like 10 years older than everybody else.
Yep.
Don't ask about it. It's fine.
Don't think it. Don't say it.
Yeah. The fat tone,
man. It is miraculous that this was still somehow the worst movie I watched this week. Considering I watched Damsel on Netflix, which is astoundingly just mid to the point of bad. Actually, Matt, you should watch it because there is one highlight, which is the dragon is voiced by Chirag Dashlu.
Ooh, all right, I'm in.
So you're gonna like that. The bits with Hell the dragon yeah. are good. The rest of the movie is Oof. So bad. It's rough.
It's Dragonheart 3.
Yeah, it's Dragonheart 3, Millie Bobby Brown edition. No hate on the woman herself, but she's been in some very bad movies.
Oh, yeah.
That's her agent. That's probably not her.
Yeah, exactly. At least she wasn't in Madam Web.
I don't know.
Madam Web's very the whole Madam Web thing was very depressing when I realized that Dakota Johnson was in it, because I was like, you were so good in the Suspiria remake. What happened?
Oh, and yeah.
Like, oh, wait, somebody, her agent tricked her and told her that she was going to be in a Marvel movie, but didn't tell her she was going to be in a Sony Marvel movie.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oof. The bad stuff.
Yeah, that was so. I just saw the trailer, and I was like, "Is it a horror movie?" I was like, "Oh no, it's a Marvel movie, but it's weird."
Yeah, it's what if
it's,
Spider-Man?
It's shot like it's Final Destination.
Yeah, it is.
Every time they've tried to make the Marvel horror thing, like, didn't they do like the Runaways or something, and it was absolute trash? Like,
but that was like in development and release hell for like 3 years because it was supposed to come out the year that the pandemic started, and then they
fair, the monkey's paw curls once more.
That's like the monkey's foot. It's
Oh,
some
man.
People are oddly into
monkey
it.
You got big feet. Yeah.
No.
Oh man. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, can I send you guys my favorite part of this film?
Sure.
What do you mean send it? You make us watch it again?
Yeah, it's going to be great. No, I took a screenshot of one of the best license plates I've ever seen in film. Did you guys notice what was on this license
plate?
Okay.
Probably.
I'll be honest. I was half asleep most of this film.
About this movie evaporated out of my brain as soon as it touched it.
Three times.
Had to rewind it because... I was like, his license plate is Queefware?
Man, that's
Why?
A very deliberate choice.
Was that Mr. Daisy's car? Because
he's slaying it out in the nightlife.
Yeah,
so here's the fun part. Mr. Daisy is the writer of this movie.
Oh.
Yes. And he's also a 3-time Survivor contestant as well. So,
seems like he was the only one actively having fun in the movie.
This makes a lot of sense.
For the 5 seconds that he was so happy that the schlock was actually in production and he was going to get residuals forever.
God.
Yeah. Man.
So yes, Jesus I Christ. Thoroughly believe that this is Mr. Daisy's actual license plate.
Yep,
Wisconsin.
Man,
yeah, I also love that the Bye Bye Man is from Iowa. That's pretty fucking cool.
Is he?
Oh yeah,
is he yeah, from Iowa?
Well, I mean, I guess he could be from anywhere, but the reporter got him from Iowa, which there not enough the Iowa-based horror.
Bye Bye Man.
Oh man,
and we found out why.
I've never wanted the It Follows STI more than the Bye Bye Man STI. To be perfectly honest,
I mean, it seems like Ebola, like a disease that burns so fast it kind of like extincts itself because it kills its victim before they can spread it. Like,
it's almost as if all the lore and narrative of the Bye Bye Man is A, never touched upon, and stupid if you think about it for a second.
You know what needed to be touched upon? Were all those baby doors in that house.
Oh, man.
They're never explained. Smaller they're back fucking when that everywhere.
They're just for the dog.
There's they're four of them the in their bedroom. Like, what are these baby doors for?
Listen, and they were in the other houses too. Like everybody had a little baby door.
Yeah, you've played Resident Evil 7, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, little baby doors in bedrooms are the done thing, apparently. Yeah.
That's where like, the little guy from Insidious dances. He's in those little baby doors.
I think it's the little fucking Jigsaw doll.
Yeah.
Billy?
Yeah.
Billy.
He rolls around in his little trike.
Oh, fuck. I hope there's a Resident Evil 7 mod that replaces Evelyn with little Jigsaw Billy.
Oh, that'd be so good.
It could be the nondescript, legally distinct, slappy doll from Silence.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It could.
Hey, just put a little blush on there and you're good.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Also, I'm just going to say, you don't put a full-size door in adjacent to your disappointments room, so.
I also wondered why these people hung a cloak on their wall, and they kept seeing a man in the cloak when they woke up, and they're like, I'm going to leave the cloak up, though.
Leave the cloak up? Yeah.
And why did they
get rid of that thing?
Man, yeah. Is that the only question you have about this piece of?
That's the prominent question. No, I was wondering if this was part of the Matrix because Trinity was here. I was also wondering if this is just.
I think Trinity was
wondering
why she was there.
Yeah, she's like, "Where are these white ghosts with dreads? Maybe they'll help."
Oh man, if the twins had shown up and had like a kung fu fight with the Bye Bye Man at the end of this movie, I would have been sold.
Bye Bye Man was taking off his hood, like if you just put the Mortal Kombat theme over that, it's a better film. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much.
What an absolute waste of Doug Jones. Because
that was Doug Jones.
Movement was so good. Shit.
Jesus fucking Christ, did I feel terrible for Faye Dunaway having to fucking...
Oh my god, yeah. Just really, really slumming it in this one.
It's like, my husband could have shot me with shotgun.
He never told me anything. He had self-control, unlike you, millennial. Here's a gun that I keep for every child that comes to my house.
Happy Halloween.
Okay. Oh, he's man.
Don't go alone. Take this.
Take this. There's dangerous out there.
Suddenly I'm sold.
Yeah, way better game. Link would have just like walked up to Ganon and just offed him. I'm on the villains wiki for the Bye Bye Man right now.
Yeah.
Want to hear some of his powers?
What to do?
Sickness inducement. Chaos inducement. Murder skills. Teleportation. Feeding off negative emotions. I know murder skills is really good. Telepathy and telepathy possibly. other dark powers. Oh my god. It envisions in its victims. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Summoning coins.
Yeah.
Yes. No, oh yeah.
Man.
Pirate gold.
Not in here.
Yeah, he was this close having a fucking gambit thing going on, and instead he just has a dog.
Yeah. Okay. It's not a dog. Dogs aren't that like don't have heads like that. What the fuck was that?
It's just a skinless dog. Right. It is okay. Like all, right. All of the Resident Evil movies.
Okay, yeah. So he makes train noises.
Yes.
He makes scraping metal noises, and then he drops a Morgan silver dollar from like whenever those were around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, that's a really old American currency. So like he does that. And then he has a skinless dog, mm-hmm. and then he has Voldemort face,
that's mm-hmm.
yeah, like half blown up. So where the fuck did he come from?
So he was a transient, and the
is this from the book?
Townspeople or somebody, I think they cut out his tongue and his eyes, and so he sent his seeing eye dog out to like. Gnaw people's limbs or something to build himself a new body.
Okay.
There was a lot going on. I didn't read it. I just looked at. I wasn't going to spend $14 on the little book.
This is just a less interesting cat with hands, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like Freddy Krueger's origin story.
Better. Like, I mean, there's at least some kind of backstory versus the movie. Right. You get like fucking nothing.
Hey, Cameron.
Which would be cool if it was one thing. If it was one thing, like I'd be like, "Oh, that's baffling. What is that about?" But it's eight baffling things, and it's like, "Oh, it's just stupid."
Yes, eight baffling things that are never explained. Cameron, you know who the Bye Bye Man actually is?
No,
he's the Americanized version of Rufus Shinrock from Final Fantasy VII.
Fucking goddamn it! You're right.
He does have a little dog.
He has coins.
He's got coins. He's got a little dog.
He shoots coins at you. Has a little dog.
Fucking hell.
Psychological warfare.
Yeah. Yeah, we can definitely call it that.
Possibly has daddy issues.
Possibly.
His father was killed by Sephiroth. It all lines up.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
It's one of the screenshots from the Villains Wiki. I guess
oh,
it's a boogeyman.
Jesus Christ. I thought that was a Bigfoot shot and like that his shoulder was his arm with like space between the legs.
Oh yeah.
For a second there.
Okay, so
Jesus Christ.
Dave, you said in the chat that this could have been a good movie if like casting and shooting and whatever had been better.
It would be a good movie. But if they just hadn't called him the Bye Bye Man, like that's the dumbest fucking thing ever. Stupid. And you could have called him like Astanax, or you could have made up a name, made up a weird name.
Yeah,
and I would have been slightly more, you know, terrified of this guy. But they didn't. They called him the Bye Bye Man. So I just called him Greg.
Honestly,
Billy. Billy's coming after us. I would have been maybe more scared if it was Billy hunting everybody.
So I had that stuck in my head when I started this movie. I was like, oh, Dave might think there'd be something here if he was named differently.
No, there's nothing. This is...
Right.
Sorry, so,
but
this is garbage.
I was looking hard for it, and there were, like, he's in the background a lot. Like, way more than other, like, paranormal stuff, and starts really early. And I was like, that's actually really cool, and I'd love to see more of that.
There's some cool ideas.
The shot when the little girl opens the baby door and the dog comes out of the baby door behind her... That was really cool.
And they needed to do, so I think it's just a lot of like missteps. Like the script just needed to never have been written. I mean,
that librarian getting
like
killed was
some
the
other
thing I've ever
writers
seen happen.
Or I don't know.
Oh man.
So if the girl, the little girl, who it felt like she was supposed to kick everything off, and then she. You know, accidentally summons the Bye Bye Man and then gets everyone killed. Like, I would have, that would have been better. But then she doesn't. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, they chicken out again and say, and then she's like, I can't fucking read, Dad, in the dark.
That was what?
I don't have flashlight eyes.
Daddy, I can't read at night.
I'm like, how did you know that there were letters in that cabinet? Did you pee on the cabinet? Like, what is going on? Why are you trying to fake us out so hard at the end of this? Also, very nonchalant for your uncle and your brother to have just killed himself, by the way. That is
yeah.
very
nonchalant.
No, yeah, the kid was just, like, unfazed. But the brother, he's just like, don't worry, Emily, or whatever her name is. The fire can't hurt him now. It's like, no, this is all fucked up. This is not good. You're traumatized, obviously. Your kid's going to be all fucked up.
Yep.
She's like, I was just trying to say goodbye to Uncle Billy. And it's like, what?
Me too, kid.
The hell is going on? And my dude, you're chill. You're dying from the bye-bye man, and you're going to shoot yourself, and you're like, the thing I'm not supposed to do, I'm going to whisper to my brother to kill him and his family.
Honestly, there was like a point where he couldn't not say it. And I was like, wait, what's compelling him to say it? It's just, yeah.
He's just when being that's a little, never little happened ass. Before.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I mean, and then so the degree of it, like fucking you up is like inscrutable because he's lasted this whole time. Like this is several days, like at least. A day or two,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah,
and then the librarian just like she incidentally hears about it, and then that night she murders her family. It's like, what is like yep. have some kind of consistency?
And then,
with
and then
this.
She doesn't get in a car. She fucking starts walking,
just to walking his house with her knife.
So it made her a zombie, like essentially. Like
I know, I'd like to.
I mean, everybody got a different like.
Yeah, she got like cordyceps, man. Like an ant, and had to like climb up a stalk and get eaten by a bird. Like,
I like to believe that she thought that she was driving. Like the bye-bye man made her hallucinate that she was driving.
Oh man,
walking the entire way.
Yeah, Mario cutting it up in her head.
Well, I think the best iteration of it was the psychic, like the horny psychic girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes,
and she sees like a family on the like that made more sense, and then she just involuntarily like murders or you know killed herself.
Yeah.
But I mean that's like that was harrowing because she's like, oh, you know, gotta save the people, and he's like, there's no people there, and
yeah,
and that he isn't even trying to catch her. He could have been she wasn't sprinting, she was kind of ambling. You could have run faster and tackled her. I mean, you were really far from the train track.
Well, to be fair, you tackled her and you were holding a hammer. What was that all about?
I mean, yeah.
Could have. Well, I mean, you got the hammer from her bag, but you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You could have hit her with the hammer. You could have, like, kneecapped her and then she wasn't going to be crawling into the train track.
Yeah, he should have just thrown that fucking thing.
Throw the hammer at her. And
yeah.
Yeah.
But you could have ran. Like, he was like, don't go. No.
Oh, no.
Yes. It was very Gene Wilder in Willy Wonka.
Yes.
Wonka and Chocolate
Factory. Yeah. It was a lot.
Don't. Back. Yeah.
I like that her psychic powers are, like, amplified. She's, like, really good at detecting, like, her horny meters, like, at 1,000%.
Yeah.
She's sensitive.
Like, I think there's ghosts and you probably want to have sex with me.
Right. The ghosts are telling me that you've got a boner under there.
Well, I mean, we all saw Ghostbusters, so ghosts know.
They know.
That they do.
And you put your keys in a pot, so I'm not a fraud. There.
Yeah.
Telling the truth. By the way, we haven't actually started the episode.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Monster Dear Monster, a monster exploration podcast where we take a look at monsters from their folkloric origins to their current pop culture incarnations.
Okay, so in the villains wiki, it says that Bye Bye Man's hobby is tormenting victims.
I mean,
it also says it also says his hobby is spreading the very thought and mere mentioning of his haunting name onto more living victims like a plague. It says that under hobbies.
Wait, his haunting name?
His haunting, yes.
The haunting name. I'm scared of this name.
Yeah. Oh, wait, he has a real name? Oh, so maybe his name is like Greg or something, and that Bye Bye Man is his haunting name. You get that when you get confirmed in the church, I think.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Juno, your caseworker gives it to you.
Look, he's still in line with Beetlejuice.
It has a goal section. Excuse me, it has a goal section. His goal is to drive Elliot and his friends to madness before beginning anew. Brackets succeeded. Listen,
Elliot.
I think his main ticket to success was such a singular focus on Elliot. And
Elliot was trying real hard.
Yeah.
And he also has never slept a wink in his life.
No, yeah, for sure.
He looked sleep deprived when he started. Like,
he's dude. Who's the Social Network guy? Jesse Eisenberg?
Yes.
This is Costco. This is Kirkland brand Jesse Eisenberg. it's like, do you need like a strung out looking tech bro who, like, you know, 90% of his wardrobe is just big gray hoodies? Here you go.
He's like mini robot instead of Mr. Robot.
I was
this is before his eyes bugged out.
I was thinking Dollar Tree Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I can see the Gerard Way, especially with all those fucking try hard band t-shirts, man. Oof.
Oh man, the Dead Kennedys shirt. When that showed up, I was like,
look, he went to the Black Parade. It was not as advertised, and now it's here. He's like, this is bullshit, Dad.
Yeah. What's the song he was singing when he ran with the librarian?
I don't know, but it was why would you pick a song that has bye-bye in the lyrics?
Oh, Bye-Bye Love. It was Bye-Bye Love. Yeah. Yes.
Could have been Radar Love. That would have been better.
Oh, so much better. Something from Bye-Bye Birdie. Who knows? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that could fit into this.
I mean, you should have picked nothing like that. Like, that's the whole...
You know what? Okay, so if I'm driving to prevent my, like, best friend and girlfriend from murdering each other through, like, haunted hallucinations, I think the radio's just off. I think I'm focused on the road.
Look, I gotta focus. I got a job to do.
Yeah. You ever get, like, so mad when you're driving somewhere that you turn the radio off because, like, any little bit of distraction, like, would, like, make you upset? Or you have to focus so hard on finding an address, you have to turn the radio off? I feel like the car radio is the mood. Of what's happening around me.
I've never had to do that, but I have gotten so upset while driving that I saw a hallucination of my best friend is standing in the road and then immediately sped up.
Wait, first a football hits you. The football was so good. It just comes out of nowhere and hits the windshield. I'm like, what's that, a fucking football?
What?
And there's his best friend in a jersey standing in the middle of the road. I love it. Leonard, did you see the unrated cut? Yeah. What else was in it?
I did not, because it was no longer available in the United States.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. VPN time.
I figured, oh, well, if the rated cut had the Buns of Steel trio, then the unrated was like Tackle? What's the
the wedding tackle? It's the wedding tackle.
Yeah.
No, I do know for a fact that in the unrated cut, when Faye Dunaway's husband goes on the kill spree at the beginning, there is a very long comedically protracted scene of him dying from drinking the drain cleaner.
Ooh.
Instead of just instead of just a cutaway to him on the floor, it's him like actively like gurgling up like vomit and chunks.
So yeah, so he drank the Kool-Aid and just it kept going. I thought it was already kind of long. Just
yeah.
It took too long.
Look, when you get funding from U.S. Poison Control, you got to put in an accurate poison death scene in your movie.
Right. I just feel like if you're going to make it like, oh, this is like a thing that continues throughout time, and as long as it's written down or whatever, it like leaps. Like, having discovered that halfway through and having those play then would be good, and not just doing it right in the beginning. I don't know. It just... The amount this does not trust its audience with literally anything ever. Like,
yeah.
We have a girlfriend reading a letter out loud about how much they're in love. It's just...
Okay, no, she's reading the serial killer letter.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, that's a hostage letter. That's like you have 24 hours to comply.
That, I think, is the roommate. Like, I think they did that together.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's signed by both of them.
Oh, wow.
I thought it was.
This is a Scream situation, then, where we've narrowly avoided her being killed by the two of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this movie is trying to, like, so hard do unreliable narrator shit. Like, was she saying his best friend's name in her sleep? Or was that bye-bye?
We don't know.
Or whatever. We don't know.
But, I mean, the thing is, his best friend was definitely, like, crushing on her.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. And dancing up on her way too much. But,
well, that's because she's so clean.
She's so clean, you guys.
So clean.
Is what we value in a partner is. I mean, look, everyone does value cleanliness to some degree, but that is a trait to emphasize.
My favorite part is that she got anaconda'd and she just got sick and was out of the movie basically for the rest of the movie.
She kind of did.
Boyfriend in Anaconda.
You've got the creepypasta flu off to bed with you.
Yeah. Which I thought was going to be like, his name spreads like a plague. Maybe he is actually a plague, and this is, I don't know, like, you get sick with it, and then you start seeing it or something. I don't know, like, if there's
You've
an
given the bye-bye name too much credit.
Or... No, and Megan was like, I think the radiators are just, like, moldy or something. I was like, oh, yeah, probably. This place is gross.
See, it would be cool if the coughing eventually morphed into her coughing something that sounded like Bye-Bye Man. And that's how
like
it spreads naturally.
I mean, she could have coughed up like the little maggots, and that would also work.
Or a bunch of coal to power a train. Anything.
And like
literally anything.
Those little alphabet soups, the maggot forms the word bye-bye man for these little maggot bodies.
Or, if you want to tie it into something that's already happening in the movie, she coughs up like one of those coins.
Mm. Oh, there you go.
That would be
that's
cool.
The ticket. Yeah.
That would have, I would have been okay with that.
Yeah, that would have been neat.
She spent the whole movie and she finally horks it up and it's like, oh, look, the coin that we...
It's the opposite of the beginning of...
We've been carrying it inside you this entire time.
She just keeps eating coins. Always in the hospital with this one.
Next thing you know, like, TLC's My Strange Obsessions there. She's like saying to everybody's ear.
Oh, yeah, you know she would. Hell yeah.
She says that she hooks up a coin and then she like puts it in your pocket or something.
Yeah.
That transfers the curse. But that's right. Already a better.
Another thing, Bye Bye Mind Lore, I need to understand. Remember when John goes to class and is late, and then just sits down to look at pictures of his best friend and smile, and then the bye-bye man is on his phone?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, the ring?
Mm-hmm.
And that never comes back?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Uh-huh. What about that, Matt?
I'm just kind of wondering.
Are you just bringing attention to that thing that they just
kind of
wondering
why it was there? It just feels like, I don't know, because I'm on the villains wiki still, and that's one of the screenshots I have. And
You want to know why it was there? Because this is the cinematic equivalent of a first draft of a creepypasta.
Yeah, Meg said creepypasta when we were watching it, and I was like, he's a Slenderman. That's just who he is. Even a land. This is
ideologically sound Slenderman.
This is the first draft of a legally distinct Slenderman.
Yeah.
So the author must, he's like, I love Marble Hornets, and yeah. I also love Hereditary, and I'm going to combine the two, but in a way that doesn't actually use anything interesting from either right. thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to get sued. I got to make it like my own.
Man.
You know.
It's much less interesting than the time I added a werewolf into Brokeback Mountain, all I'm saying.
I mean, that already sounds better than what...
No spoilers for Death Stranding 2.
Yeah.
By the way, it's worth mentioning that this movie's almost a decade old at this point.
Yeah.
Which is crazy that we're still thinking about it and talking about it. Maybe this movie is the virus.
Yeah.
It is the meme. You thought it and you said it.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. So much so. It just became like such a joke that we're like, we have to do it ourselves, obviously. And
obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was, oh, this was a mistake.
You guys want to guess what the Bye Bye Man's occupation is?
Transient? Is it transient?
Bye Bye Man?
Curses.
Ghost? Oh,
I'll tell you if you get
Lizard
close.
Man.
Keep going.
Okay. Malevolent Lizard. Spirit?
Oh, really close. Demonic boogeyman-like figure.
Man.
Hold on.
That'd be guys, like guys, the ghoul, but...
He has two more. He has two more occupations. Presence. He has two more occupations.
Yeah.
Let's see if,
yeah.
See if we can get
Stalker?
There. Nope.
Window
He's not
keeper?
Russian,
no. Train runner?
Oh, we're getting further away. Collector of souls. And
collector of souls,
yeah,
he's
I know.
Collecting souls. All right.
And
souls?
Mass murderer,
he didn't kill anybody, he's like indirectly murdering people.
I know.
Look, all I'm saying is if my career counselor had a demonic entity as a field of pursuit,
demonic boogeyman,
my life would be in a very different
demonic, yeah, demonic boogeyman like is the.
Listen, I don't want to get legal hot water here. He's boogeyman like,
like the boogeyman is Disney of the ghost and ghouls world, and you're like, you can't, you can't paint a book like boogeyman. Okay, he's gonna come after you.
So even the short film from the 80s, The Boogity Man, had more of a backstory.
Man.
The Bye Bye Man.
Dude, Oogie Boogie from Nightmare Before Christmas has more of a backstory than this guy.
Yeah. Well, of course he does.
Because we get nothing, so he could be anything.
He's everything. He's train dog coin cloak.
Sickness.
Voldemort.
He's a representation of the IRS.
Yeah. Say bye-bye to the rest of your paycheck.
Oh, you picked up this strange windfall of money? That was a bad move.
Did you declare that on your taxes?
Oh, man.
Oh, I'll make you
know how much those
something.
Are worth?
Are we creating Bye Bye Man cross Wish Upon? Because Bye Bye Man versus Wish Upon?
No, I'm doing Bye Bye Man, which will cross over with Ace Attorney, when you have to be defended by a lawyer for tax fraud.
Oh man, I want to see those Bye Bye Man objection animations so bad.
It would be good. That's my problem. Is guy with a dog is a decent place for a character design. Creepy guy with a creepy dog ain't bad. You can imagine, like, he points the big finger out and the dog leaps up onto the stand.
Yeah.
Objection.
Oh man. But yeah.
Bye Bye Man attorney at law if he's the one doing the objecting.
I've been branching out.
Yeah, I mean, he has a lot of day jobs.
The demonic boogeyman doesn't pay what it used to.
Yeah, yeah, right. That used to be a union job. Now, like, you need a fucking app to like get one of these guys to your house.
For every child, a monster under the bed. That was the workers' union. Yeah. Sad.
What was this movie rated?
PG-R?
No, this
Wait,
has to be PG-13. Because
it got an R originally, and I think that's probably the unrated cut.
Oh, okay.
Turned it back down.
Our boy shoots a bunch of people with a shotgun and
with no bloodless
deaths.
Yeah.
hard enough to slam into and like dent a wall, but no blood.
Yep. It was the Goosebumps equivalent of a murder spree at the beginning.
It really was. Looking like the dude from Goosebumps.
And like lit like an episode of Goosebumps. Just like fully lit 60s homes. Just I guess they don't put this windows in houses like they used to.
This movie would have been better if they put little doors sign in to play Larry.
Put those baby doors.
See, that's like, this feels like it could be a good Goosebumps, you know?
Yes. Yeah,
It's got the right elements, and you could trim this down into like 90 pages.
Right, take out the cucking. That usually isn't in Goosebumps books. Yeah. But you know,
no, that's reserved for Fear Street. Only.
Yeah,
yeah,
oh, yeah. I forgot about Fear Street.
Fear Street had get cut and die, Drew. Which is it's a Nickelodeon that you put a nickel into, and you don't want to watch the movie that's inside there because you'll die within a day.
Fair enough. Oh my god,
I'm like trying to parse the plot. I have a synopsis in front of me. We could go scene by scene.
No, you don't.
The synopsis is blurring and becoming inscrutable, like a cryptic text that I'm not supposed to be reading. It's in a language I can only understand in my mind, but not with my eyes. What a mess.
Because you're going to read and you're going to say, that sounds like this movie, but I don't recall this ever happening.
It's never happened.
Yeah.
This looks like nothing to me. Can we talk about the librarian for a minute? And how she's the best performance in the film.
She's great.
So she they're in the stacks and they go to the dead.
The cool automated letters. Stacks. Yeah.
The dead.
Yeah. The big control text pops up and says dead letters.
Yeah. The dead letter department or whatever.
Oh, it was also number 69.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Very important.
Like, here's your glove because I don't want your grubby hands touching the thing. Your hand oils will destroy these old documents.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair. He takes one glove, clearly is using his other non-gloved hand to handle the papers. And then he's like, hey, take a look at this one. And he hands it to her and she doesn't have gloves on. handling all the papers. It's like, okay, what?
I don't even work in this field, and I was mad.
Yeah,
and then she got really mad when he was like sketching up the.
She left him alone with a pen and these supposedly precious records, and she's surprised when she comes back 40 minutes later.
Yeah,
to find
really.
He scribbled all over everything. Yeah,
like he lost an hour scribbling out four names.
I mean, he's in college in Ohio, so
he's like redacted. Redacted. Hang on, I gotta read these like character by character. Bye bye, man.
It's rough. Like a lot of this, like the time skip and whatever else is conveyed really, really quickly. And they do that like throughout the entire film.
Really,
like,
repeatedly,
At the beginning, even at the beginning, it's like, okay, we have kids. Oh, they're at college. Oh, they all bought a house together. Did they buy a house? Or are they renting a house?
They're renting.
It's empty.
Yeah.
The furniture's in the basement. All of a sudden, they have a bed in the room. Did you bring a fucking mattress out of the basement and you're sleeping on an old moldy mattress? No wonder you are coughing to death. Like, just things happen.
They furnished the whole house. Like, they...
Yeah. And no, not only that, they fixed the fucking wallpaper. Like, they like, redid the entire house.
Got rid of that giant mold spot on the ceiling.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Well, and then it never explains. So they go talk to the landlord,
Mr. Daisy
with a Z.
With a Z.
Yeah.
Because he's got that pizzazz. Mr. Daisy, who's having like the time of his life in this little flower shop,
the college hothouse.
Yeah, that was his job.
And Jesse, whatever her name, I don't know what her name is.
Sasha.
No, she's Sasha. Bear. I'm sorry. Bear.
Bear, right. Well, doesn't... Bear. Does Sasha mean bear and something?
I don't know.
Probably.
It might. I thought it was like a pet name, but maybe it does mean... Maybe it's Ukrainian. I don't know.
Maybe.
Anyway, Sasha rolls up super sick to the flower shop to go talk to the landlord. And she's like, the desk, this, why did you have that? And all the furniture was in the basement. And then Mr. Daisy's like, the fuck? What? what happened?
Sorry,
he clearly didn't put the stuff in the basement. What is going on?
But doesn't own it. Like, he's just like, yeah, totally meant to do that. Enjoy. Like,
yeah,
nothing comes of that.
No, nothing. Other than they got the address for Mrs.
Red something.
Just Teflon names in this movie.
Yeah. Red beard.
Except for John Henry. yeah. When the main character's brother first says, "You and John Henry over here," I was like,
I thought it was a joke.
Was that racist? Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Are they establishing that his brother's like racist and like fucking weird? But no, the scriptwriters. named his main black character John Henry.
It could be worse. Yeah, not a lot, but it
not
could
wrong.
Be.
Yeah. Well, when you see the white girl with the sage and the feather, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Look, she knows exactly what Mr. John Henry's thinking.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
She knows what he's putting down.
Except for he picked it back up again and booked it.
Got that bye bye man brain.
How problem. Did he parlay her from like screaming "Don't think it, don't say it" in a ball on the floor to her spending the night with him? Like how did?
Hey, guess what? Not effectively, because she does imply that he wasn't able to finish.
Yeah.
And
he
this never usually.
I mean,
happens.
He didn't. She didn't. It was bad. And the best part is, what's the main dude?
Elliot.
Sleepy
Elliot.
McGee.
Sleepy.
Elliot?
Elliot. Yeah. Elliot. Yeah, Elliot.
Elliot.
So Elliot hears
melted
them
wax,
getting
Michael
it on.
Sarah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the most, like, two people reading lines in, like, in the sound booth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's bad. And he's just like, huh, what's going on in there?
Yeah. The Bye Bye Man knows everyone's
by the book.
Everyone's biggest fear is hearing someone else fuck.
He's like, are they having sex or are they ADRing a sex scene in
there? Yeah, they're both voice actors in their spare time, you know. Someone's got to voice all the fucking visual novels on Steam.
That's how they're affording that very expensive, very large house. It's like, itch.io, all the visual novels, we can both voice everything.
Yeah. This is Witchboard all over again. It's just like, how big is this house? Where in the house are they?
And then
it shows finally like an establishing shot way too late in the movie, and it's fucking huge.
Oh, honestly, the Witchboard living situation would have probably made this movie better if it were like a weird like mansion turned apartment building where they're just spreading Bye Bye Man all over the apartment. It's kind of would make this movie work significantly better.
Oh yeah,
you could have put the leads from Witchboard in this, and it would have made it
better. This is fair.
Yeah,
is
seriously. Way more charisma, man. Way more charisma.
Tony Katane's back.
Yeah. I would have preferred that over our female lead in this. She had a single emotion through the entire movie, and it was just like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, and she was kind of quiet in one note until it's like a scream fest at just the very, very, very end. And even then, it's just like she's just asleep. It was baffling. Yep.
Unconscious for the back half of the movie, not along for the first half.
It's almost as if she shot significantly more footage, and then they realized that maybe she couldn't act particularly well, and then just put her in a coma for the rest of the entire game.
I mean, this was her first leading role.
Got to start somewhere, and sometimes somewhere is the Bye Bye Man.
That is a you have just spoken a curse into the world. Everyone has to start somewhere, and sometimes that's the bye-bye man. That is, you have spread this curse, and people will reenact the bye-bye man in real life.
Oh, you know it.
Technically started the podcast post bye-bye man.
Yeah.
And made it 7 years.
Yep.
And then
And then we allowed Matt into our palace.
And look where it brought you.
I know. Hey, such we lows. Withstood the bye-bye man for 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a real rip the band-aid off kind of person. We just need to get this out of here so it's no longer in the water. It can't
That's
be
bad.
Like we bring like we
attractive
no one can ask us to do this again,
right?
We bring Matt to the table, he sits down, we knight him and everything, and then much like Ursula from the Little Mermaid, he sheds his skin into this eldritch abomination and says, watch the bye-bye man.
I mean, we went to the moon first, so
it's true.
I enjoyed sharks on the moon more.
Shark side of the moon, because I remember that name, and I respect that name compared to
director was ahead of his time.
This is a black hole of like content. Like this isn't
that you watched like, three times.
I had to confirm to myself that it wasn't me. I had to make sure that this movie was actively erasing itself from my brain as soon as it hit it, because I still really cannot say anything about this film.
It's just so many elements that I think even if you watch it three times, every single time you go, why are his parents dead in a car crash? Oh, there's a girl who can talk to ghosts and all ghosts are there right now, and someone's brother is like trying to help them as much as they can and whatever, and then that goes nowhere, and it's just so many things are introduced and piled on and whatever. I feel like if I watch this 10 times, every time that came up I'm like, wait, what the fuck is going on here again? It just makes it Teflon. It just slides right off your brain because you're trying to remember what was important, what wasn't, and none of this matters.
I'm a big fan of like what are the rules, and this movie has kind of stymied me on that, where it's just like, hey, guess what? We're not even going to introduce any rules whatsoever.
I mean, don't think it, don't say it. That's all you need to know.
That's it.
Yeah.
But then it makes you say it. Like,
right. It makes you think it.
If it touches your brain somehow, if it gets to you, or I don't know what was going on there.
Yeah, it's a ghost with like a physical proximity thing going on as well. Like, it's a haunting curse that is bad. And then if the physical entity / whatever of the bye-bye man gets closer, it's worse. Right.
And it's based on
belief. They just leave the house.
He's got the same powers as Gladiator from the X-Men. Sorry to keep bringing up the X-Men. like if no one believes in him, he's not strong. I don't know.
Yeah.
The answer could have been just take a Xanax and just chill out for a little bit. And then the bye-bye man just goes away.
Remember how Elliot took the cursed end table that caused all the problems and walked
threw it into the woods?
Such a fucking,
I think he threw it into a
powerful
lake
now.
Because it made a splash.
There was a river down there. You could see a little river.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? Just fucking burn the thing. Just burn it.
Always burn it.
Always burn it.
And his brother's name is Virgil from the Devil May Cry series, which I understand.
Right. Virgil pulls up with his truck and his plastic chair and his Yamato.
He brings a child to a college.
Yeah, that was the number one thing. It's like, okay, he showed up. I mean, and they weren't there the whole time, but.
No,
it's a college party. You don't bring a child.
But but it's a college / housewarming party. So
with only college students there.
Well, Virgil didn't know that. He was too busy.
And they bring a bottle of like Jose Cuervo or something. Yeah,
that he gave to his daughter to give. And he's like, want to help me finish this off, kid? She's like, I can't drink and I can't read, silly.
Yeah.
In the dark.
The kid goes upstairs at a college, like, drinking party, right? And I'm just like, oh no, don't go in any of those bedrooms. It's not going to be good.
Do not. It's not going to be good. And like, there's like kids on the stairs and there's like, they're not kids, but college kids on the stairs. It's like, oh yeah, little kid wandering around. That's fine.
Yeah, what's up? There's a bunch of baby doors up there. Knock yourself out, kid.
There's the kid-sized room for the kids to go in.
Like, even in the hallway, there's, like, little baby doors everywhere. I just...
Yeah, it's the first one she walks by, and she's like, oh, that looks tiny.
Is this how they build houses in Ohio?
Oh, it's locked.
Are there, like, hobbits and, like, fucking house gnomes?
You gotta have room for the house elves to get through.
Yeah, I guess so, man.
Yeah, I don't know what those are for.
I'm your other uncle, silly. Stay here with me. Let me spot
here. I'm your I'm the house uncle. Come into the little household.
The house uncle. You throw him a Miller Lite and he's free forever.
And then at the end she has the two coins. And she should have just, like, sat in the car with the dad and then, like, playfully put them on her eyes.
Right. Man, yeah.
That would have been good.
Because that's what they were. I mean, they're the toll for the dead. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Like, the author saves the little girl by her being too dumb to read. But, like, totally dooms Trinity and her kids by, like, getting the name told to her so it doesn't go away. It's just because, like,
if it went away, there couldn't be a sequel.
Yeah, seriously.
There's no sequel hook if they just remove. But here's my favorite. My favorite part about it is the flashback where Faye Dunaway is clearly not being played by a younger woman that doesn't have her bone structure whatsoever.
Yep.
Her husband's like, oh man, but you know, you could just spontaneously say it. And I'm like, yeah, that's actually a really good point. Like,
yeah.
People say nonsense statements all the time. Like, right.
Peace out, man. And it was in the 60s.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Yeah, bye bye, man. Like, oh no.
Peace out, man.
Peace out, man. Oh, wow. That's what they called him back then. But it's changed a little bit.
As he approaches, you just get tired. You don't want to start any conflicts.
Yeah, in the 90s, it was the smell you later, man. Things have changed a lot.
Yeah, eat my shorts, man.
Yeah, he's of course accompanied by the terrifying "What's up, dog?"
So wait, is this a creepypasta based on the Superman villain Mr. Mixia Spitlick? But just like they're like, nah, that's too hard to say. Let's just call him Bye Bye Man.
Could be.
Make you go bye bye.
Yeah, because like you're never gonna say the Superman's villain's name accidentally. Like, much harder to summon.
There was a very unpleasant time in the early aughts where he was just known as the No Homo Man. And
oh, God.
Listen, he wrote a really good apology letter.
I think we should allow him back.
He went on a podcast really apologized and
Christ.
He marches in the Chase Bank Pride Parade now. He's a really different guy.
No creepypastas.
He's a good dude and he likes dogs.
Yeah.
He loves dogs.
Listen, man, can't blame him there. Dogs are great.
Oh, man. I honestly, so like one of the most disappointing things about this movie is there's like, like artwork for what the dogs was supposed to look like.
Ooh, yeah. You got any of that?
I'm going to think so. Yeah, because it was actually really, really good.
And then they messed it all up.
Yep.
The typical
story. The dog was, it was okay until it was just CG. It's like,
The dog was great when all you saw was its head or eyes.
Eyes were so
out of the
good.
Little house holes. Like, I agree. The scene where, little girl sticking her head in one end and it's coming out the other end is great. It looks menacing.
A puppet, you guys?
It was supposed to be a puppet, and it was supposed to have. It was supposed to be like
made. Bloodborne dog.
He's a bloodborne dog. He's covered in eyes.
Covered in eyes. Covered in tongues. He was like supposed
to. Just raises more questions.
know how it keeps eating people that have died, that have been cursed?
Oh, okay. It's
supposed to, like, be absorbing pieces of them into itself.
Yeah, in the book, that's what it did to create another body for the Bye-Bye Man.
Gotcha.
See,
oh, eyes and tongue. Because the people
cut his eyes and his tongue out. So he needed more.
That is actually.
But then they were
really
like, let's make the movie. But obviously, he has to have eyes and a tongue.
God, this is the modern thing all over again. We had a perfectly good puppet, and you fucking ruined it.
Fucking ruined it.
Just putting the tongues on there is like, that's not great.
Also, this photo of the Bye Bye Man alone at the library makes me kind of sad.
Yeah.
He's just sitting there.
Well, it's because of the lighting.
Menacingly.
And it's like, but it's not even menacing. He's just studying.
A copy of How to Draw Manga, and he's just staring at it, just like, someday I'm going to be able to draw it this good.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this photo. I'm just like, same girl, same.
But you got to open those books to, you know, study.
Yeah,
he studies by osmosis.
Gotta crack the books.
No, he's searching. He's reading all the books closed for any mention of Bye Bye Man in sequence in these books. These are books that get.
I mean, he could do really good blackout poetry and just like make all the books have his name in them.
Yeah, that's such a great idea.
There should be a sequel where he spawns because someone read the wrong book in the Library of Babel. That just happened to have the sequence of Bye Bye Man and
Bye Bye Man Origins. I would love that.
Yeah. Well, because the Library of Babel exists now. It's a website that you can click to go to a randomized book.
Oh, fantastic.
So just have someone go on the internet and accidentally respawn the Bye Bye Man.
So you know how you were saying how technology ruined this dog by covering up a cool puppet? Can I share some other awful technology I've just run into? How Google's broken?
Yeah.
Like, inexorably broken.
Very good.
So I typed in, for just to find the pictures of this dog, Bye Bye Man concept art dog, period.
Yes.
And it gave me, like, I don't know, 30 results. And the very bottom one is an ad for an app that uses virtual reality to recreate your deceased dog so you can spend time with your dead dog.
Oh, boy.
And I am so sad that someone was like, this is the product. This is what
this
I'm
is
gonna
how
do
it works.
In my life.
I mean, you can make your dog into like a little, like a, you know, not a diamond, but like a little crystal.
Yeah. Mm. A diamond dog.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's right. A diamond dog. Like a real one.
Oh, or, I mean, you could do what's her name? Barbara Streisand does and just keep. Cloning Shih Tzus over and over and over again. Yeah.
I would prefer to go the virtuosity route and make my digital D4 D20 dog.
Yep,
my man.
The Goo Dog.
Goo Dog.
Do you have a Nintendo DS?
GooDog.com.
It has Nintendogs on it.
No.
Yep.
Oh man.
Or you can recreate your dog and or cat in Monster Hunter.
You could do that.
Yeah.
Or you can really be a diamond dog Metal Gear Solid 5 it and just crack that little urn they give you open, smear that all over your face.
Yeah, right?
Then you are the dog.
Just like my hero Kratos.
An alternate universe Ares betrayed him. Didn't give him his pet insurance, and so he wears the ashes of his deceased Labrador
into battle.
This has nothing to do with the Bye Bye Man because that movie is trash. And Jesus,
no, we got
to
talk about something.
See how far
else
we got away from
saying
it as fast as we could.
But now that there's a cat race in Dragon's Dogma 2, I will create myself and make my pawn one of my cats.
Nice.
That is the correct choice.
That is great.
Dante's going to look great as a video game character.
And then your
cat pawn can tell you that wolves hunt in packs.
What now? I'm not familiar with that.
Fair. Oh, God. Does this movie have
I've only played Devil May Cry in the original Italian, so I don't really get the references.
Oh,
the Dante's Inferno.
Tryhard.
Humble brag. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I stitched my armor onto my body.
I stitched a cross onto my body. Yeah, I know.
You must show honor to the cross stitch, Carol. Hold on, I got to pull that up. That's my favorite web comic ever. Hold on, I got to pull that up.
So I went to went to Dante's house, real Dante, when I was in Italy.
Italy.
Yeah, in Florence. And there's a cobblestone outside that like some master stonemason made that looks like a rock until you pour water on it, and then it makes the face of like the side profile like a cameo of him.
Oh.
So it's really neat that you like don't have to bring your own glass of water to pour it on there ever, because there's always some fucking tour guide pouring water all over it. So yeah, it's just always there, so it's not a secret anymore. But it's a pretty cool little thing.
It's not the in and out secret menus of Dead Poet Cameo.
I know, right? It's not Einstein's hidden plutonium.
No.
Hello, Colonel Kyle.
Does this movie have any value whatsoever?
No. It does have value for the shot of Elliot throwing the cabinet into the bushes.
Yes,
I liked that shot. That was fun.
I like how a moment was introduced.
This is how we're gonna do it.
And they weren't the like window into the psychic world, like how little kids always are in horror movies.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought she was gonna summon the Bye Bye Man and then then leave.
Or
and
just
then,
like he's here, or I see him, or he wants to play, or something.
Yeah. Well,
but
I mean,
no, she's just like, here's some tequila, piss off, Uncle, I'm out of here. And
yeah. Like, I mean, that's kind of refreshing that she isn't the vector.
Yes.
Right.
And she doesn't die.
Yes.
Like,
however, the vector.
Like, I have the coins. Oh, I have the coins he gave me. He's like, who gave you? Oh, they were in the
dress
by the trash. And there was words. What did it say? I can't read in the dark, Daddy. It's like, you know what?
You know that I can't read in the dark.
The dark, Father.
Are you serious for once?
Yeah, so that was fine. Like,
yeah.
Of what the movie could have done, I'm okay with that.
Yes.
Actually.
Yeah. That's fair.
Except for severely burned John Henry whispering it into Trinity's ear.
Potentially, because
it just says
whisper silently or something on the closed captioned.
I wish the closed captioning had just said the Bye Bye Man.
Oh, no. Wait, 2019, did it not come out yet?
And made?
Oh, it's not even real.
Oh, man. All right, just sorry,
thank
guys.
God.
It's fake news.
I had a moment of existential
my bad.
Terror.
Wait, it's on Rotten Tomatoes, though.
Did a fan make the Bye Bye Man 2 when they didn't pursue them when they started using the rights?
I don't know.
It's, who knows?
Wait, is this just the original
no,
Bye
that's
Bye
just
Man?
The original.
When three college friends stumble upon the horrific origins of the Bye Bye Man.
Yeah. Matt, you've been Bye Bye Man. You're
guys,
having hallucinations. You're dreaming of a Bye Bye Man too. You're trying to get us all killed.
Wait.
The Bye Bye Man trailer too.
No, wait.
No, that's the first movie. He's touching him.
Bye Bye Man
Hell
3.
Bye Bye Man 3. That's just the trailer 3.
Oh my god, the Bye Bye Man infection. So it's found Matt as the vector source at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not very good at doing its job, so it just keeps
tricking him. I'm going to go sit in the snow like the end of The Shining, and I'll just take care of it myself, you guys.
Fair. For your crimes.
Did you guys see the trailer for Hereditary 2?
Man, I wonder where the story will go from there.
Where can this story go? Like, honestly.
This can't. It didn't go anywhere the first time.
Is the little girl going to be an adult and, like, the world is, like, a wasteland because the Bye Bye Man virus has
killed,
like,
everyone?
Like, they accidentally set it on Jeopardy and it just, like, got half the fucking country?
I mean, I guess not realistically, but if you think about the mimetic transmission of the stupid Bye Bye Man,
yes,
it's basically like the holy shit, what's the Takeshi Shimizu, the Cairo Pulse.
Oh yes,
It's kind of like that. That one's where you realize that everyone is truly alone, and you just have an existential crisis. But
sure,
yeah, but it's transmitted by, like, you just thinking about that, and then technology, like,
right,
any kind
which,
of
which I mean, like it's the like, do you read Sutter Kane? Like,
yeah. It's that same sort of, like, you know, this is a existential, like, threat,
right?
Because, I mean, honestly, yeah, so you just said the fucking, like, Bye Bye Man, you could have like if the movie was set in, it's not modern day, it's like
no
like, I don't know, it didn't give a date. It was like 1969 and then, like, they're just in college.
They're in college. Okay. He has a cell phone, but it, you know, it's clunky and old, and
it's really shitty. But the thing is, it's not that old though.
Yeah, right. It's like early aughts.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
There's chat rooms. You could have just fucking, like, Bye Bye Man on Reddit, and that's
get on AOL.
It's over.
Yep.
Just send that out.
Everyone's dead.
I'm like, I'm gonna follow up on this train of thought that Matt just introduced for the Bye Bye Man sequel, where it is in fact the little girl grown up in a wasteland. It is like Mad Max, and all the roving gangs are adherents to the Bye Bye Man, and they hunt people down so they can say the Bye Bye Man to them. So it's Bye Bye Man 2, Cult of Bye Bye.
And then you have people who are like punching out their eardrums and stuff so they can never hear it, and cutting out their tongue so they can never say
you're
it.
You're combining the Bye Bye Man with
this
Silence. What's it called?
This is the third part of the trilogy that involves Quiet Place and Bird Box.
Yes,
like, oh no! Right,
you can't speak it, you can't see it, and now you can't hear it.
Yeah, Bird Box.
Yeah, Bye Bye Box. There we go.
Bye Bye Box.
Okay, we found it. That's the
it's
title.
It's the Bye Bye Box set. You got to get all three of them.
Bye Bye Box set. Okay.
Buy
don't think
the
it. Don't
bye
say
bye
it. Don't
set.
See it.
Yeah.
Don't hear it.
Don't buy it.
Don't buy it.
I watch this for free on YouTube. They literally, I did not want to pay for this. I watched this for free on YouTube.
Oh yeah, I rented it.
Yeah. Why? I had no free options.
I didn't either. I had to pay.
I've got the YouTube Premium, but it doesn't come with the movies, so screw that, man.
What?
Maybe it's only free in Australia?
Well, I'm on the trial right now, so maybe they don't
give give it to you until you commit.
Yeah, you get a 1 month trial. Yeah.
1 month
wasn't enough for Bye Bye Man.
No,
not enough
for Bye Bye Man. Sorry.
Enough to improve my mental health by not
getting some more coins.
Yeah, I needed to send my 2 coins to this author to, you know, keep Daisy
the
going.
Two coins in the box top.
Yep.
The real modern indie film scene is
those
when
coins
you have to send $5 in a tracked envelope to the producers, and then they send you back a USB with a single copy of the film at 720p. the real underground scene.
They send you a VHS tape. It just has label. Don't say it.
Man, okay, I can't stop unraveling this.
I probably would like the press kit for this. It was probably fun.
Oh yeah, oh,
sure. But then you watch the movie and you're like, well, whoops.
Because you're like, what mystery? I can't wait to see what's actually happening here, and then, like, nothing gets solved. Something I want to keep, because we have to just get into every nook and cranny of why this doesn't make sense. You guys remember the classroom, what the professor was talking about?
Remember any of that, actually. Yeah. And I watched it 3 times.
None of this happened. He's talking about, like, if he interacts with the wall behind him until the point where it's down to a single atom and there's only one atom left, can you still call that the wall? It's basically like not Ship of Theseus, but like getting Zeno's paradox, right? Like you'll never actually reach somewhere, and is it ever actually a thing, and can a thing ever actually go away,
or can it exist?
And like that trope of whenever there's a college class happening in a movie, it's always like really broadly outlining the basic like concept or thesis of the film. And this one's just like, hey, like stuff is here forever and goes away and does it. And
I mean, like, I feel like they were reaching with that. They're like, we could make this relevant. And then they didn't.
Right.
They're like, guys, we can only rent this for like a brief amount of time.
We have enough to like shoot on campus for like half a day. We got one or two exteriors. We got one in the greenhouse, which I guess that's a thing on college campuses.
Honestly, I can tell you what the most expensive sequence in the movie is, and it's the post train accident when they have all those under fives running around on screen.
Yep.
Those are the most people that I've seen in this movie this entire time. This must have cost at least $25,000.
It was slightly more expensive than the house party.
Yeah. with generic unlicensed music.
That classroom scene was weird because it's like that's the tiniest little classroom. Here's your 12 desks. Like, okay,
it's definitely at like a closed former elementary school that they just like everything about this screams TV movie. Everything about it. It's just like, why was this given such a broad release? Why was this given like?
Yeah, this got theatrical like nationwide release.
Yeah.
I mean, so did The Darkness, and The Darkness was really, really bad, but that was still better than this.
What was the budget on this? I gotta find out now. Box office in production. Here we go.
Maybe like $1 million? 500,000?
Yeah.
6.2 to 7.4 million.
Million?
That's too much money for this.
Inflation.
And box office dirty though, man. Like
that's... Yeah, that's unfortunate. Maybe the bye-bye man said that the movie was very successful, and that's why you gaslit yourself into believing there was a sequel coming.
Yeah.
There's no way this was successful because I remember specifically when this came out. And every like it got like
got a 19 on Rotten Tomatoes
immediately.
Yeah.
But it's like no one was watching it.
Apparently, that's untrue because it made 25.
I don't. Yeah,
well, the thing is, it's PG-13, so it got all the like the little kids.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do. They put in the make it PG-13. Like they cut the rating down, and then like, oh look, all we can get all the high school kids.
They'll
go see the horror movie.
You see their butts on the train track? They were all standing on the train track.
That's true.
Butts.
Yeah.
Butts.
Titillating.
Butts.
Yeah. Like, the amount of, like, you could have just spliced in, like, softcore pornography to all the scenes where he was listening to people have sex, and this would have just been a movie on Cinemax, like, you know, in the 90s or whatever. And it would just be like, okay, yeah, sure. I believe you. This has the same caliber of acting.
Episode of Red Shoe Diaries. David Duchovny's in his little trench coat and
he's like, wait, is there X-Files shit happening here? Which guy do I have?
I mean, like, this could have been a bad episode of X-Files.
Yeah, absolutely.
It could have been a really bad episode of Tales from the Crypt.
Right.
Yeah.
What's your guys' favorite thing that Tang Media Productions has made?
Tang Media Productions. Let's look at the list.
I
gotta tell you,
what have they made?
My current favorite is Bye Bye Man.
I know.
My current favorite thing of Tang Media Productions is not Tang Media Productions, but Donald Tang himself.
Tang, you mean the vice chairman of Bear Stearns?
Executive chairman of Sheen?
Wow. No way. Oh, my God. Okay, so now we know how this movie got made. By a bigger monster than the Bye Bye Man could ever be. Someone who ran fucking Bear Stearns. Oh my God.
Good Lord.
Career in media. He helped acquire AMC Entertainment.
Good Lord.
Yeah, nothing about what Tang Media has produced ever.
Nope. They unleash the power of visual storytelling, unless that's a different Australia-only Tang Media I've just found the website of. That's possibly why.
I think that's a different one.
They've got more than 93 happy clients.
Definitely.
Well, the first happy client is when you look at the picture of Donald Tang.
He does look pretty stoked.
You know what? Listen,
that's
man.
A perm. I love it.
It's an amazing headshot. I encourage everyone to look up Donald Tang on Wikipedia. This guy's got a head of hair to beat the band.
Yeah, he do.
Oh, this dude is the executive chairman of the Shein, the clothing company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's messed up because that company is stealing from everybody.
Oh, sure. Oh, it is. Yeah. Okay, so he also owns Tang Media owns Global Road, which made things like Paws of Fury, The Legend of Hank, Playmobil the Movie,
what?
a reality cooking competition called Fridge Wars.
Hell yeah, Fridge
the
Wars.
Lifetime drama American Princess. I Think We Are Alone Now, starring Peter Dinklage and Paul Giamatti. What the fuck? wow. Okay. This is insane. Yeah. They work with Blumhouse to develop Chinese language horror films. Wow.
Okay. Man, that makes sense, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Man, movies is nuts. I just can't believe that all of this stuff is always just like so incestuously related to each other that no wonder it's all born with like Habsburg style faces.
So the screenwriter, Jonathan Penner, he was married to Stacey Tytle, who directed the movie, but she passed away. She hadn't done anything. She's like done two other movies. Let the Devil Wear Black in 99, The Last Supper in 95, Down on the Waterfront 93, and then Bye Bye Man. Apparently Jason Alexander is her cousin-in-law. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so this guy has written for TV a lot. Episodes of The Nanny, Coneheads, Melrose Place, damn, he's done a lot of stuff like that. And then his like big writing credits are Let the Devil Wear Black, 99, a Lone Ranger TV movie, and then The Bye Bye Man. And then, Survivor.
three seasons of
three.
Survivor.
Cook Islands, Micronesia, and the Philippines.
Ooh.
Damn. There's
lots of fun places.
See, this is what the Bye Bye Man does. We are looking at the writing credits of a guy who was on Survivor because
he wrote the Bye Bye Man. Because
he wrote the Bye Bye Man, and how do you even like talk about this movie? I want to see what else this main actor was in. If he's done anything else, looks like he's been in some other horror films. Big Little Lies. Oh, he was in Don't Worry, Darling recently.
Mm-hmm.
He was in an episode of The X-Files in 1996.
No way. It's almost as if all of this was made for TV by TV people. He was in Terminator
and
Genesis.
He was in Outer Limits.
Ooh.
Wow. All right.
And Trancer 6. Okay.
Trancers. All right. I think that's it, guys. I think that's the vibe.
There's nothing else. He was in the Ouija movie.
Oh shit!
Uh-oh.
Oh boy!
Pizza, witchboard, bye-bye man, crossover time.
That's right.
So you know what movie? Okay, one last thought. reminded me of you guys have seen the number 23, right? The hit and carry horror film, that everyone loves and talks about to this day. In like dealing with obsession that leads to psychotic breaks and murdering and whatever. The fact that movie was better at getting that across and I think more successful than this one is fucking insane. But that's the only, I don't know, comparison I can draw for like a similar kind of film to this, where like you don't know really where the obsession comes from and you don't know what is driving people to do it. And then they just random shit happens. Like everything else has that, like does this, there's like a cosmology behind it and a ton of lore and explanation and whatever. And I think that's just what is just so, I can't believe this is still stuck in my craw. Why I'm so bothered by this movie. I'm like Leonard. I'm scared that I'm going to watch it again. because I'm just like,
your existence.
Some of this has to make sense somewhere. There needs to be a newspaper clipping in the background or something. Why is the number 69 so prominent everywhere? Why are we seeing the number
69?
There's a lot of horny going on in this
movie.
Yeah,
a lot of horny going on. Like, are the numbers on the train significant? Like, why are we given so much very clear detail for shit that doesn't add up?
We didn't even talk about it. You see the train coming, and it has like
family photos and
stuff,
clothes
like all over the
flowers,
tracks,
train tracks,
right. Which
leads
like,
to nothing.
Yeah, it looks like those like roadside memorials people set up when there's like a motorcycle accident or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. It has that kind of feeling. Like there's like a not a vigil. What's the word when you set up a bunch of you guys know what I'm talking about.
A monument or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Like an impromptu monument. Like it's I don't know. Whose pictures were on those Polaroids? When was the Polaroid invented? Was it post 1969? We'll never know. But that's the Bye Bye Man. And I think I can't talk about it anymore.
No more.
I will say, instead of rewatching this, you would do better to watch a movie that came out a year later called Butterfly Kisses. And that will do the things that this movie felt like it would do from the trailer, but better.
All right,
it's found footage, a mimetic thing where you okay. So the basic premise is there's a local legend of a killer or something that appears like on this bridge. If you show up at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And the idea behind the creature is that you'll see it. You'll start, if you see it on the bridge, it's like a virus, and you'll start seeing it everywhere, like in The Ring.
All right.
And you'll see it from far away, and it will steadily get closer to you, but it happens between when you're like, if you're not looking at it.
Yeah, when you blink, essentially.
When you blink, literally. So every time you blink, it gets like a step closer to you.
Yeah, weeping angel.
But it starts. Sure. Yeah, it starts really, really, really far away. So the movie is like the protagonist trying to like figure out how, much like with like Freddy Krueger, like can't sleep, so they can't like they always have to be watching.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. That's pretty good. That plays the paranoia in a fun way.
And it's just a better movie. Even though the budget is not whatever millions the other one was.
Do they use the Bob Carlyle song Butterfly Kisses in it?
I don't remember. They may.
Okay.
I think it was like low enough budget and indie enough that they probably couldn't afford.
Yeah.
Oh,
maybe
wow.
A cover.
I mean, that's a really good way of like saying like blinking Butterfly Kisses. That's
right.
That's very clever. I'll give a lot of points to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one I would say like you know watch that because that's the same feeling as like It Follows
just lower. Or no, Lake Mungo.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that.
It's more Lake Mungo-y.
Yeah, because it is also presented as a documentary, because the protagonist is, what, a filmmaker that knows about this other young woman who did this and then kind of vanished. And he's, like, reviewing her tapes and learning about it that way. So, yeah, there's that Lake Mungo documentary style aspect to it as well. Yeah, no, this is, it's a significant, honestly, great palate cleanser if you've been subjected to the.
Well, it's a film fest winner.
Yeah.
That helps. And then I will, here's the blurb, not of the plot, just of like the film itself. So the film was a deconstruction of the found footage genre, exploring what if films like The Blair Witch Project, Last Exorcism, or Paranormal Activity were real. The director also considers it a mixture of academic criticism and real world horror of how far an artist would be willing to go, which is, it's just taking a critical look at the found footage genre, while still also being an effective found footage film.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, go watch that.
Yeah.
Watch Butterfly Kisses.
Yes.
My last note that we didn't get to for true MVP of the film is the train driver. We didn't talk about him.
No.
He has a single line where he goes, "No!" And that's it.
Oh, yeah. He goes, "No!" And then pulls the thing. And then he just keeps going.
I
think he stopped eventually, but the train went pretty much quite a bit further,
even though it didn't, because in the next scene where the paramedics and all
the train just parked,
it's just parked there like slightly up, and I'm just like, oh my
God, backed up.
Yeah,
like, you gotta make sure.
Thanks, IMDb, for this quote.
Elliot, it's a train.
No, Kim,
a real train.
A real train driver. No. That's in the quote section from IMDb.
God, you're truly iconic dialogue in this film.
It's what everyone was talking about around the water cooler on Monday.
Yep.
Was that train driver?
That it was.
No. The fear in his eyes.
He did look afraid.
I mean, you're in Ohio. I don't know. You kill a white girl with a train in Ohio, that's just like Tuesday there. Like, the way rail lines are happening in fucking this country right now. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Bye-bye, man. Yeah.
Yeah, bye-bye, man.
Bye-bye, man. I am delirious. Yeah. I'm done with this film for the rest
of
my life. yeah.
The fourth time is not the charm, Leonard.
No, it's not. And if you want to be haunted by an uncrackable, unsolvable, it's a lament configuration that you can't solve. So, like, Hellraiser never comes, but it's really, really fucking frustrating because you really want to solve it.
This is basically like the Hellraiser reboot where you get the nerve plucking device jammed into your sternum.
Sure.
Yeah.
It feels about right. Yeah. Anyway, don't think it, don't say it, for real this time. Never mention
don't
this movie
watch it
again. Yeah, don't watch it, don't buy it.
Don't watch it, don't buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
don't rent it.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Good it's night, a hard folks. Non-recommend. Good night, everybody.
Bye, folks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Man.
Bye-bye, man.
Monster Dear Monster is brought to you by Fireheart Media. If you enjoyed the show, please share this and all of our episodes with friends. And remember to rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. Word of mouth is the only way we grow. If you like, you can also kick us a few bucks to help us keep the lights on at ko-fi.com/Fireheart Media. Check out our other show, Jolichon's Place, at www.jolichon.place.